This month, Adelaide celebrated the 40th anniversary of its very distinctive public transport experiment, the O-Bahn, which in 1986 became the first guided busway in the Southern Hemisphere.
A bus travels around the city, picking up passengers. Just out of the city, it enters a special busway, a guided track. The buses are fitted with guide wheels, side rollers like these. The drivers drive onto the busway so the rollers fit neatly, and then away they go.
Cruising along at 100 kilometres an hour, it's a breeze for the driver. Look, no hands.
To mark the anniversary, the South Australia Bus Preservation Association organised an O-Bahn tour. And joining us now is SA Bus Preservation Association committee member Michael Pretty, who planned and ran the O-Bahn tour. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Julian. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, look, Michael, I have heard the O-Bahn described as a Frankenstein bus rail hybrid. Why did Adelaide opt for the O-Bahn back in 1986?
So for a long time, the city knew that the northeastern suburbs was going to expand, and the only transit corridor that they could think of or that was available was actually the River Torrens, which, much like the Yarra or the Swan in every other city, was our main fresh waterway when the city was built. And because of the complexities of the river, they knew that a train wasn't going to be an option. And so they were limited to either being a tram or a road. And a lot of environmentalists and people at the time weren't comfortable with the idea of a freeway running through that area, and that trams would make a bit of a cluttered mess. And one day, the opposition government at the time, the Liberal Party, one of them found a magazine in the library about a busway in Germany that used Mercedes-Benz vehicles on a concrete track. And they're like, okay. So they called up Mercedes-Benz in Melbourne, said, hey, what's this busway we hear of? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. So they said, leave it to us. And about a month or so later, they got back saying, oh, yes, we found it. It's called the O-Bahn, and it's an experiment in Essen. It's only 1 kilometre long. So they went over to Germany and found it and decided this is what we want. We're going to bring it back to Adelaide.
Right. So there was 1 kilometre in Essen, and then Adelaide went much bigger than that. How's it gone as a public transport system for Adelaide, Michael?
It's been brilliant. People often struggle to knock it. It's been around for 40 years, obviously, and it's got increased use every single year. Out of all our transit corridors in Adelaide, it's the only one that keeps carrying more people as each year goes on. When they built the city tunnel back in 2017, that also alleviated that final stretch of traffic that they used to get stuck in the suburb of Hackney. So they get to town from the plaza in about 17 minutes any time of day. So it's really been phenomenal for everyone who lives in the northeast suburbs. And once it gets to the interchanges, the bus then comes off the track and drops people door to door compared to a tram. So it's been very popular.
Right. So it's on the guided busway for parts of it. That's what enables it to go much quicker. But then the buses can just go off the track and operate like normal buses at either end.
Correct. Yeah. So there's two stations that they leave from. One's at Paradise and one's at Tea Tree Plaza. Once they leave the track, they do quite extensive little trips into suburbia. Over the years, they've expanded the services by double, I believe. So it went from being 12 bus routes to about over 20, I think.
Amazing. Now, Michael, tell us about your history with the O-Bahn. You don't sound like someone who's older than the O-Bahn. What's your history with this public transport wonder?
Yeah, so I was born in 1991, but the O-Bahn was first built in 1986. So when I went to high school, I used to catch a lot of those O-Bahn buses to school. And growing up before high school, I used to catch them to Tea Tree Plaza just as a joyride. And it was always something that was very exciting and fascinating. I always had a bit of an interest in buses growing up. And then, yes, it was at high school that I realised all the different model makes and that, you know, the O-Bahn ones were Mercedes-Benz. And when I finished high school, I noticed a lot of these buses were starting to disappear. So in Adelaide, when they turn 25, they have to take them off the road and replace them. But it was at that time I was finishing school and starting uni that they were going up for tender. So I actually bought one in 2012, and that was a rigid normal size bus. And then in 2019, I bought an articulated bendy version as well. So I've got two O-Bahn buses that I own as classic cars.
That is superb, Michael. But as collecting memorabilia goes, particularly a double barrel bendy O-Bahn bus, that's a lot of space. Where do you keep them?
So I've actually got six buses. So only two of them are the O-Bahn ones, but then I've got four more as well. So they all live in a storage yard with caravans and boats and things like that, because yes, they're a bit big for the driveway at home. And yeah, there's a whole group of us as the association. We started off with about three buses in 2011, and now we've got over 55.
Wow. Well, so it sounds like the South Australian Bus Preservation Association is going off. It's fantastic stuff. And I suppose, Michael, that explains why you were the man to run the 40th anniversary Oban tour. You planned it yourself. What was involved in the tour? Where did you go? What sort of knowledge did you share on the big day?
Yeah, so it took about 8 months to plan the tour. The very first thing I did was actually just start emailing off invitations to people from government, so like our Premier, Transport Minister, people such as that. And as that went along, I also started to think, well, maybe we should try and find people from the past. And when I tried to send off a message to Diana Laidlaw, who was the Transport Minister in the 90s, she actually got back to me and said, well, have you invited the ministers from the 80s who actually went and found it? And she's like, well, here's their phone numbers, give them a call. So one by one, you know, we found all these people from the past, and we found old drivers, passengers who've come from interstate who were there on day one, people such as Dave Pawson, who has been an avid supporter of Papassa for years, and he was actually there back in 1986, the day it opened. So it brought in 125 people, and we ran 5 buses, and we retraced the Oban, like, obviously along the road because we can't drive along it. And then in each suburb we pulled up into, we got out and stood trackside, so that way people could see all the buses and the infrastructure behind. And we talked about, you know, the environmental controversies, the political controversy, the fact that people were actually a little bit scared when they first rode it, because before 1986, buses didn't do 100 kilometres an hour. They could only do about 70 or 80. So for them to be on this weird, like you said, Frankenstein concrete track, doing 100 kilometres an hour and the driver's not holding the wheel, people were a little bit freaked out with what they were seeing. But it certainly gained a lot of positive attention, and people from all over the city actually went and rode it on that first day. So for the tour, yeah, we wanted to acknowledge and honour the fact that, you know, so many people took part in it, and it was very unique for the Southern Hemisphere and for our little city.
Well, it sounds like a great event. I'm sorry that I missed it, Michael, but I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, which I hope don't come across as disrespectful, Michael, but looking back on the time of the Oban, I mean, how has it fared safety-wise? For example, are there downsides to having an Oban? I will admit that I have seen quite a few social media videos of cars that have mistakenly ended up on the Oban track and come a cropper. What's your assessment of the Oban safety record?
I knew the car comment was coming. That's okay. So the interesting thing about all these incidents that have happened, because buses have been coming off of it recently as well, there's nothing ever about the track itself that's caused an issue. So if car drivers have gone down there, that's because they've ignored the warning signs. They used to have what's called sump busters out the front. They used to rip the oil pan out of a car if it tried to go on. But now that modern cars have got different suspension, they drive right over the top of it. So then the only way they come to grief is if they fall down the middle. As for drivers, the only time there's ever been accidents is if been driver error. So if they've been distracted whilst going onto it, or not taken the right precaution, you know, speed-wise or angle. So the infrastructure itself has actually never caused an issue, which has been quite interesting. And being 40 years old, it is starting to show signs of wear, and, you know, it's sloping down in some sections, but it's still holding together really well. And the buses, they are running at a slightly reduced speed. They do 80 now instead of 100, but it still operates really well and getting people in and out of town really quick.
On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with South Australian Bus Preservation Association committee member Michael Pretty, who ran the 40th anniversary celebration tour of Adelaide's Oban, the guided busway that was in fact the first in the Southern Hemisphere and the second in the world. Now, I don't want to stretch the friendship at all, Michael, but you've dealt with the safety issue very, very well and diplomatically. I mentioned, you know, it was the second in the world. I think it is also true to say that there aren't that many guided busways around the world. I gather the Oban in Adelaide is one of only 4 in operation, and a few others have been tried, but then they have closed. Does that suggest that as a form of public transport, it hasn't really taken off, that it might have some limitations? What are your reflections on the nature of the Oban that makes it fairly distinctive in the world of public transport?
Yeah, so people do ask me that quite a lot, and I've always been puzzled as to why more cities didn't take it on. Because in the early 90s, Melbourne was talking about using one for the Tulla Marine Airport. Because I believe in Melbourne, they've been offered a train to the airport for years and it's just never taken off. And yes, you're right, there are only 4. So there was a few small pockets of them in Essen because they were just an experiment. So when Adelaide said they wanted 12 Ks, the Germans actually had a bit of a moment of panic. They're like, what do you mean you want 12 kilometers worth of it? So they actually did a lot of the testing of the technology here. Then there's one in Japan, in Nagoya. And then the longest one now is the one in Cambridgeshire, which I believe is 24 kilometres in the United Kingdom. I've always considered it to be quite effective. I guess a lot of cities, perhaps they didn't like the limitations of having to make those concrete tracks. But having said that, in Germany, they trialled a few different options, and some of them were as simple as just bolting those guided rails into the ground or the tarmac so buses would drive on the road. The one we've got is the elevated tracks because of the river. So the soil was always moving, so it had to be elevated off the ground. And then other ones as well, they actually just put timber tracks or metal tracks over tram rail so that trams could use it and buses could use it. So a lot of countries came to Australia because in the late 1980s, we held an international seminar many times, and countries such as America, Europe, Asia, South America, New Zealand, and even cities around Australia, they all came to have a look and were very impressed by it. But for some reason, they just never took it on.
Now, the South Australian Department of Transport said that the O-Bahn has become part of Adelaide's cultural fabric, quote, every bit as characteristically local as Smiley Fritz and Stoby Poles. Now, just in case there are non-Adelaide folk who aren't across that sentence, could you translate it a little bit for us and remind us, firstly, what are Stoby Poles and Smiley Fritz? And then along the way, tell us if you agree that the O-Bahn is part of Adelaide's cultural fabric.
So Smiley Fritz, if you live on the East Coast, you might know of it as Devon. So it's just the, you know, mincemeat in the sausage. But we also used to have one where it was two different colours, so it'd make like a fringe and a smiley face. And then Stoby poles, because of the termite problems we had in Adelaide during early settlement, they had to make our power poles out of concrete and metal so that way they wouldn't keep falling over. So I believe SA and Northern Territory are the only two places that have steel and concrete power poles. So yeah, look, we've got the Moores Bulls, we've got Glenelg Beach, we've got Farmers Union Iced Coffee, Fruit Chocks, we've got lots of, you know, frog cakes, lots of things that are, I guess, uniquely our own. I don't know if the O-Bahn quite resonates with people that much, but having said that, there's lots of groups online that pay homage to it. When the cars do fall down the middle, it's always, you know, oh, Adelaide survived another week with a car falling down it. I mean, I've always thought it's very unique. And I think, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, it was actually a tourism draw card. There were lots of brochures and things that said, catch the O-Bahn to the plaza for shopping. You could catch the historic Glenelg tram and then swap to the bus. For a while there, they were running special tours called the Busway Encounter. So they would give people shopping vouchers. They'd go for a tour on the bus, a ride up the O-Bahn, then they go shopping for the day. So they were trying to promote it as an icon. But I guess over time, you know, eventually people just realize, well, look, it's just a public transport corridor. It gets you to work. It gets you home. That's maybe where the lines got blurred a bit. But I think of it as a nice little icon for our city.
Fantastic. No, well, I think we can give it icon status. It's been fascinating discussing the history of the O-Bahn with you. And the tour sounds fantastic. I think you're going to have to reprise it, Michael. But thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra today to talk about the big 4-0 for the O-Bahn.
Yes, thank you, Julian. Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be celebrating it again for its 50th. So watch this space.
That's SA Bus Preservation Association committee member and the planner and guide of the O-Bahn 40th anniversary tour, Michael Priddy.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.